Now, I'd love to invite Jim Ransom from the Gospel Mission to come and say hello to everyone. Hello, Jim.
Hello, everyone.
Let me move my paperwork so you can put yours down. As I said, Jim's from the Gospel Mission, and I've asked him to think of an interesting fact he can tell us about himself. He says he's got many, so I'm hoping he's had time to pick the best one. So what can you tell us about yourself?
I think my favourite is that little story of when I was about seven. And I was in London with my parents, and we were walking past a very grand hotel. So you've got to think in black and white, because this was in 1960-something, which I'll give you a clue. And it was a very grey day, and there was a bit of drizzle, or mizzle, some people call it, and it was just drifting down. And there was a huge crowd outside this hotel. And I was a small boy, I'm thinking, I've got to see what's going on here. And I pushed my way through, big legs as it were, through, and I landed up against a policeman who was stood at the bottom of these steps. And I'd sort of grabbed hold of the bottom of his tunic, just as Muhammad Ali came down the steps of the hotel and shook my hand. So that's
amazing.
That's a story.
That is amazing.
I've never seen a hand so big.
Incredible.
Or a man so big, it was crazy.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
We'd just love to pray with you before I leave you to it. So, Father God, we thank you for Jim, and thank you for bringing him to speak to us this morning. I just pray that you would speak powerfully through him to us, and that in doing so, you would bless him for his obedience to you, and the way that he listens out to you, God, may we be inspired by that. So fill him with your word and your power and your spirit right now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm just really thrilled to be here this morning, and particularly just the way in which the flow of the service is going. We are seeing great change in Faversham, and we're seeing great change in our churches. We are seeing a town that's growing. Wherever you look, there's buildings, and buildings going up. And a lot of people in Faversham are going, oh, it's going to change the town. But will it change it for the better? So what's the question here? You know, if the town changes and we've got lots of more people coming in, there's for a Christian, for each one of you, there are a lot more opportunities to be a witness. The Bible says that, you know, we are called to be witnesses, but that terrifies most people. You know, the fact that someone is actually going to say to you tomorrow, explain to me what you did yesterday. And you might just sort of mumble, well, I went to church. Or tell me about that. Why do you go to church? And you start to mumble, it's great, I've got lots of friends there. And what you're trying to, you know, kind of get to the point of is actually describing what happens when we meet together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we have fellowship together, and we are here for a primary function to worship the living God. And some people find that really difficult. But when you get into that type of conversation and you start to talk to people, all of a sudden you see that actually there is a lot more hunger and a lot more thirst for finding out the things of God than you might have thought. So give it a go. Just be bold and be strong. As the Lord said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. See, I believe that God wants to do a new thing in Faversham. I believe that God wants to take hold of some of us who perhaps have, over the years, we think we've seen everything, and we've been a little bit complacent. I've been in church leadership for over 20 years now, and I've seen so many different changes, but I love change. It's what I do in my day job. I work for the NHS, and I have to change things. That's what I do. I go into different places, and that's what I'm paid to do, to change things. And when we change things, when we take things and we can try and make things better, that's always a good thing, isn't it? But sometimes it's very difficult. And what I want to think about today is what God can do with us when we're listening to him and when we are able to give to him what he asks of us. Do you get that? So God asks us questions sometimes. And the first question that I want to think about this morning is a question that God asked Moses. You remember the story when Moses was at the burning bush and he was completely confused about what he saw. All of a sudden he was there in the desert and a bush burst into flame in front of him. And the voice came from the flame and he knew that it was God. And if you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2, you'll see the first question. And the question is this: what is that you've got in your hand? So God says to Moses, what have you got in your hand? And I love this bit because this is the important bit. The first line here of the reading in Exodus 2, Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? What's here is Moses having a conversation with God. And Moses is talking to God because God's asking him to go and talk to people. Go and tell the people this. Go and show the people this. And he says, what happens if they don't believe me? And then he asks him another question. What have you got in your hand? And he could have said a stick. But it was effectively a stick. He said, a staff, he replied. In fact, some versions of scripture say a shepherd's staff, because that's what it effectively was, because Moses was a shepherd. A shepherd's staff. He said, throw it to the ground. And when he threw it to the ground, something crazy happened. It became a snake. And Moses did what most people would have done. He jumped away from the snake. I don't know if you like snakes, and snakes terrify lots of people. My wife was a bit worried about when I went to Uganda. I've just come back from Uganda earlier in the year, and I love wildlife, and I will photograph anything I find. And in particular, I quite like snakes because I just think they're very colourful things. And my wife was very confused in case I was poking around in bushes to try and find a puff adder or something. I said, I assured her I wouldn't do that. But the Lord said to Moses was completely the wrong thing to do whenever you see a snake. Because he said, he threw it to the ground and he ran from it. And the next, when it goes on a little bit further, the Lord said to him, reach out and take it by the tail. If you've ever handled a snake, you never do that, especially if it's a nasty snake, because it will just crawl around and it'll bite you. And of course, Moses, he was so obedient. He's so obedient right then to this simple thing. He took his stick, he threw it to the ground, and instantly it turned into a snake, which of course he ran from. Now, this is symbolic because the stick or the staff was symbolic of the work that Moses did. He was a shepherd. He was looking after sheep. He was someone who guided sheep with his stick and with his staff. And then when it turned into a snake, it was symbolic of Satan, you know, the snake in the Garden of Eden, and having victory of it, getting hold of it, taking hold of the snake by the tail, and it was a defeated foe. And this was saying that Moses was going to do something amazing for God, and it was going to involve the staff, where he was going to guide and lead his people as shepherd leads the sheep, but he would have victory over evil things, and he had a victory over evil times. Can you see that? If you know your story, you know the Bible stories, you know the story of Moses, where he was in the wilderness, and he went into Egypt, and he brought all the people out, and they followed him. But he had a worry. What if the people don't believe me? If you've ever tried to share your faith, it's one of those questions you might ask God. What if the people don't believe me? If I tell them what I was doing in church yesterday, if I tell them about God, they'll think I'm a little bit weird. And maybe they won't talk to me again. And so many people have been worried and frightened about taking hold of God's word, because God actually said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And later on in the New Testament, he says, I will give you the words to say in every situation. Now, I find that a great comfort. Because if in my strength, I'll stammer away in different words. But in God's strength, I know that he will fill me with his Holy Spirit and he will give me the words to say. Now, this piece of wood that Moses threw down, this staff, was really significant. Because if you follow the stories of Moses through the book of Exodus and you see what he got up to with that stick, you will see that staff, that piece of wood that he was carrying, he, at one point, he struck the river and the waters parted. And the waters parted so far, you couldn't actually see how far they were going. And then with that stick, he led the people of Israel through the waters. And can you imagine, have you ever been to Venice? Has anyone been to Venice? And if you go to the square in Venice, what do you see? What do you see people carrying? It could be flooded, true, but you wouldn't want to be there then because that's a bit wet. But what you normally see is people running around with umbrellas. I got off a coach in Venice and someone said, follow the blue umbrella. I turned around and there was 20 blue umbrellas going in different directions. You know, and this, you know, following the stick, following the staff, with his staff, he was leading the people of Israel where God wanted them to go. Later on, another place, he had the leaders, as it were, of the tribes. And they were at a place, and they wanted to have something to drink. And the water in the river was not nice to drink. So God said, strike the rock. And with his staff, he struck the rock. And as he struck the rock, this living water, this fresh spring of water sprung up, and Abel was able to drink. But Moses had to listen to God to be able to do any of those things. And the fact is that when we listen to God and we hear his voice, so often we argue with him. Sometimes he'll say, go and talk to that person over there. You see that person sitting in the cafe, they're lonely. They would really like to have someone to talk to. Can you go over and talk to that person? Anyone been there? Anyone had that happen to them? Go and talk to that person. And you go, well, actually, I've only got 5 minutes left on my parking, Lord, and I really need to, you know, and you start to have an argument. You start to have, are you talking to me? Can I really do that? Can I go and do that? Can I speak to someone about you? Well, that's what he wants us to do. He wants to take our little things, that little fears. You know, you've all got talents. You've all got skills. I don't know what they all are. I could have a guess at some of them because I know you. You know, that Chris can play the guitar pretty well. And he can use that as a talent because, you know, he can just go around and find other musicians who don't know God and start talking about guitars. And before he knows it, he'll be sharing the gospel. Emily's is so immensely talented, I don't know where to start with her. She's a rare breed. You know, but you use your talents. You can use the things that God has given you, whether it's baking a cake, whether it's just being a companion to someone, whether it's sharing your love with someone, so going to the shops for someone, whatever a talent, whatever God has asked you to do, it might appear really small to you or as insignificant as a stick. What's that in your hand? A staff, a shepherd's staff. Throw it to the ground. It becomes a snake. Grab it by the tail. Grabs it by the tail. And it becomes a staff again. And with that staff, Moses was able to lead and direct the people of Israel in the same way as he would lead his sheep. He was able to strike the river and the river parted, or the sea and it parted. He was able to strike a rock and water came out. And if you read again in Exodus, where there's a massive battle going on. And Moses is stood upon this rock, and all the time he's got his hands in the air with the staff, holding the staff aloft. The Israelites are winning. You know, I wish my football team would do that. You know, if you hold up the staff, you'd see that the Israelites were winning the battle. But Moses physically was getting tired. So Aaron and Hur came up behind him and lifted up his arms underneath him and pulled up his arms as well with that staff. So with that staff, that little stick, that what's that in your hand, it might seem insignificant. If if God says, what have you got? And you might think, well, I don't know, I've really got a lot. I haven't got a lot to offer. But when you give that to God willingly, whatever it is, God takes hold of it and blesses it and does something amazing. Let's have another example. Do you remember the story of the feeding of the 5,000? I think that might come up as well here. So I love this. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came and said to him, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he told the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. And the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. We call it the feeding of the 5,000. But if you think about it, 5,000 men, the Bible always describes things in that sort of term. 5,000 men, they would have been their women and their children there as well. So possibly something like 12,000 people or more sat listening to Jesus. I like to put myself in the place of Peter in this story. So you imagine Peter's listening to Jesus, and it's been a long day. They've been there all day, and Jesus has been spending time walking about. He's been healing the sick, and he's been speaking to the people. And I imagine Peter coming along to him saying, because Peter was a fisherman. Pete was, you know, he was used to being hard at work. But then Peter probably was hungry by now, like everybody else. And I can imagine Peter coming up to the Lord and saying, "Can I have a word, please, boss? Look, it's been really great listening to you speak all day. and all day. And I really love the way that you've got a whole series of sermons into one day. Fantastic. Who would have thought it? But I think everyone's a little bit hungry now. And why don't you just wrap it up? And then we can all get back and get something to eat. And Jesus just sort of looked at him and probably sussed him out completely and just went, no, you give him something to eat. And I imagine that Pete, being the spokesperson of the disciples, he went back to the disciples, and the disciples probably had sent him in the first place and said, how'd you get on? And he said, well, he agrees they need something to eat. Oh, that's brilliant. But he says, we've got to find it. So, well, we haven't got anything. And we're a long way from the village, and I've got no money. How am I going to get this food? And it's, can you imagine someone coming along, he's got the little boy by the scruff of the neck. He said, we've got this boy. He's got a kipper sandwich. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, right, give them to me. So he goes back to the Lord, and he goes, Master, he says, we've found some food. He said, brilliant, what have you got? He said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And at no point do we read that Jesus sort of lifted his eyes and looked at him and said, is that all? You know, he didn't ever even consider that, you know, because he knew what was going to happen. This tiny little thing offered up so sweetly by this little boy. We don't read that the little boy was beaten to senseless and his lunch was nicked. What we hear is that he gave it up. He gave it up. And he gave it to the disciples, who took it, and they took it to Jesus, and gave it to Jesus, and Jesus said, have everybody sit down. It's just a massive crowd, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever been to a festival, and you look down, you can see thousands and thousands of people. I was 1986, I went to the last Queen concert where everybody broke in with Freddie Mercury, and everybody broke in from the side of this arena, and there should have been 120,000, there was 240,000 people in this place. You could see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. Miles and miles and miles. And here was Jesus looking down at all these people in front of him with the disciples who are now looking really worried, because Jesus had said to them, give them something to eat. And all he'd got was a kipper sandwich. 5 loaves and 2 little fish. And Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven and he broke the bread. And he gave it to the disciples and he said, go and give them to the disciples. And I can imagine Peter, he's got his hands out like this, or he's got a little basket. And he's got his bread and fish in it, and he's gone up, and he's gone, take just a little bit. Because, you know, his faith might not be, he's going, take a little bit. He's got to feed all these people, just take a little bit. And he could imagine him going round and round and thought, well, I've still got food here. He was going down later in the day, just take a bit. But everybody had a fill. It says there that all the people that sat there had enough to eat. They were fed. And trust me, when someone says they've had enough to eat, this is your Sunday lunch feeling. This is when you're like, oh, I can't eat any more bread. I can't eat anymore. They were fed. They were fed to overflowing. Because we know that because there was 12 baskets of food left over from 5 tiny loaves and 2 fish. You might think that you have such an insignificant amount to offer. But when you give it over to God and he blesses it, something amazing happens. Now, he blessed that bread, but the disciples had to deliver that message. They had to deliver what was going out. The Bible is described as the bread of life, the word of life. And if we take that word, and we can take it, and God has blessed it, and we can distribute it to people, they will be fed. And they will be changed. And their lives will be changed. Wouldn't it be great to see more and more people in our churches? More and more people praising God. More and more people getting the vision. It's so important that we've got a mission and vision. I love this. I'm going to steal this idea. I love this. I learned that in business a long time ago. You see a good idea, steal it shamelessly. You know, and so I love the idea of mission and vision. And what I particularly like is what happens to me in the mission, and what probably happens to Jeff up until now for many years, is that we all get a date put in our diaries where it's like the church annual meeting, and we're supposed to tell everybody what God has said to us about our mission and vision for the rest of the year or what's going on. And it feels like a top-down approach, you know? But I love this fact that by doing this, you know, you've got a say. You've got a say because it's really important. That when you're getting fed, you get the right food. And the mission, you know, we have a Faversham Gospel Mission. The mission there is it's a movement. A mission is a movement to boldly go. To go. That means to move. Okay? To take something to somebody. It's not a monument. So many people look at churches, and churches are just grey buildings, and people think that's the church. The description, the video was amazing, that said it's about the people. And the people are a movement. People move. Buildings are solid, hopefully, and they stay straight. And they can be monuments. And people look, when the thing about a monument is when you look at a monument, people look over the shoulder at what was. And they say, oh, in these good old days, these used to happen. And people talk about the mission when the brass band used to be there all the time during the day, during the Sunday, 7 services, the first one at 6:30 in the morning, prayer meeting. And then the band would go out and they'd march into the town, they'd play their instruments around the town, they'd kick a few doors, and all of a sudden people would follow them to church. Could you imagine that now? I wouldn't get my band out. Well, you know, they're still a mission band, but they don't do church, you know. So, but I wouldn't get them out, and then I wouldn't get them out at that time in the morning. But the mission is a movement. It's a movement. So your mission is, how are we going to move as a church from where we are now into where God is directing us? And he's going to use staff to do that. Not a staff, but staff. And you are the staff that he's going to use to make that movement. And a vision is also important, because the Bible says in Proverbs that if there is no vision, people perish. So we need to make a vision come alive. We need to be able to see. If you've got dodgy vision, you can't see what's happening. So it's really important. What have you got in your hand? What have you got as a talent? Doesn't matter what age you are or who you are. You will have something that God can use. It might be that God has laid on your heart to get up at 5:00 every morning and pray for an hour. That's an amazing talent. And trust me, pastors and church leaders will love it to know that there are people in their fellowships that are getting up and praying for them and praying for the work of the church at that time in the morning. It could be late at night, whatever it is. I wake up at 2:00 in the morning a lot, and I start praying for the people in church. I've got a bit of a photographic memory, and what happens is that when I'm in front of people, I know where people sit. So at 2:00 in the morning, if I start praying for the people in church, I'll be praying for where they were sitting. And it depends on whether I start at the front or the back, depends where I fall asleep. So I always tell the people, never sit in the middle of church, because you might not happen, you know, I might fall back asleep then. But, you know, praying for people, praying for vision, praying for direction, praying about the mission, praying about the leadership, praying for Jeff. Jeff is just an amazing guy. He's worked and worked and worked. And we really need to lift him up and encourage him. I was praying this morning. I just got that picture of him, you know, as like an eagle. You know, right, you know, the Bible says that if we wait upon the Lord, we'll rise up with wings like an eagle. And that would be just amazing. Because you know why eagles rest? Do you know what happens? It happens every year for an eagle. They come to a point where they've got their feathers get messy. And they have to grow new feathers. And they pull the feathers out of themselves. And they get up onto a ledge, high ledge, because it has to be high because they need to fly again. And they spend time painfully picking out the dead feathers, painfully changing how they appear, until such time where they're now starving hungry, they're ravenous, but they're completely new. They're a new bird. They've got new wings, new feathers. And they just push off and fly over and see. You know, the vision is just important. As I said, I've been recently in Uganda. My first time in Uganda. I've been to Egypt a few times, and some people don't class that as Africa. But going to Uganda was amazing. I was working with a charity called Uganda Women's Concern. The role of women in Uganda is an awful thing, really, really awful. So much abuse and so much heartache. And there are so many kids without parents. AIDS ripped through Uganda. We were working with a conference of 75 teenagers between the ages of 15 and 20. 75 teenagers, 49 girls, 26 boys, and 73 of those teenagers has had their lives affected by AIDS. They'd lost somebody through AIDS. And just incredible, incredible time having ministry with him. But I want to tell you one story about a pastor who didn't know what to do. A pastor didn't think he had much to offer. His church is in a tiny little remote clearing underneath Mount Egan. It's like a mud hut, his church. But every Sunday morning, there are 300 people in it, and a load of people sat on the floor outside it, and they're nearly all kids. You see, Pastor Mateo had a vision, and he knew that when the schools were on holidays, and a lot of kids don't go to school, because in Uganda, kids only really go to school when their parents can afford to send them, because they've got to buy the uniform and send them to school. And so he had this vision that he knew there'd be a lot of hungry kids. And so what he did, he started doing a thing called prayer and porridge. And every afternoon, when the schools were on holiday, he puts a big rug out, he gets his worship band, and they play music in the middle of this field, and these kids come from anywhere. Never seen anything like it. Got some great photos of kids looking through trees, just looking out to see what's going on. Tiny little kids. And they all come running in, and they sit, and they talk, and they pray. There's Bible stories. They'll sing some songs. And then they get given a plastic mug of porridge. And it might be the only meal that they get, this plastic tub of porridge. But his kids, just so thankful. But that work is incredible. It's just a vision. One man in one tiny clearing in the middle of a jungle had a vision for the kids. Never, ever dispute or argue where God says, do it. Just a small little thing. What have you got in your hand? It might not feel like a lot for you, but God will take it. And when he's blessed it, he will make it grow. Just like he did with that boy's lunch. Just with that bit of wood. So what have you got? Have you got a stick or a fish sandwich? Whatever you've got, God can use if you're willing to give it up and say, here, take this. Now, if you're sat here this morning and you're thinking, I've heard this before somewhere, and I haven't got a clue what it is I've got to offer, you know where to start. Father God, show me what it is you want me to do. Show me what it is you want me to use. How can I add to the mission? How can I add to the vision? How can I be a part of the movement? How can I be more than someone who just sits on the seat? How can I be involved? Show me what it is. Do I talk to people? Do I pray to people? What is it? You will have something that God will bless and multiply. Stick or fish, you know. But God can use it, and God will use it time and time and time again. If only you hand it over, he'll use it. Father God, I want to thank you for this time. I thank you for your word to us. I thank you, Lord God, that when you speak to us and we listen, when we truly listen with our ears and our hearts and our minds, Lord, you do great things. Father, we ask that you will make it known to each one of us, regardless of age or condition, that you'll make known to us what it is we have that you can use. And Lord, we ask that you will make us willingly hand it over so that you can use it, Father God. Thank you for the mission board and the vision board. And I pray, Lord God, for this fellowship. I pray that you will make it grow. I pray, Lord, that you'll make it great witness in here in Faversham. Lord, when we look at the buildings in Faversham, we see dates on the buildings here and the building of the mission and other churches. We know that in the late 1800s, something amazing was happening here because all these churches were being built. So, Father, as we pray into the churches that we are part of, the family together, we thank you, Lord, for our prayer times every week, that we've come from different fellowships. But we pray, Lord, for the growth of your word, the promotion of your word in this town. And we pray, Lord, that you would enable us, each one, to be part of that movement. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.